What's up, y'all? This is Cookbook, the West Coast Puerto Rican, hanging out with the Hip Hop Digest. And you know this, know this, know this, know this, know this, know this.
When we started and coming out with our music, we didn't get categorized as hip hop. They ran us away from that category. They said the South was not real hip hop. We couldn't have that category. We went in that category. We had to fight for it, but then they made it crunk music. And they just put all us in Lil Jon's shadow, and that's not what it was. We were still hip hop too, but they just gave us a lane. Like, no, hip hop ours. You know, just the West Coast had gangster rap, so they said, all right, then we just gonna get them crunk music. No. So then you had everybody else come out, then they had trap music. So you trying to give us everything other than hip hop. So why would I celebrate 50 years of hip hop if you never considered us hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop?
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. We back in here. What's up, brothers?
What's goody? What's goody?
Happy recording day.
Happy sir. Recording day, sir.
All right. That's what's up. Yo, so before we, before we get started heavy, any news? Any business?
Not that I can think of at this moment.
Okay, good.
Business hours.
Yeah, that's we already passed business hours, B.
Okay. All right, then. Well, we're going to get right in. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Chuck D has been rocking for the last couple of weeks. The docuseries on PBS Public Television, I believe it is called Fight the Power, How Hip Hop Changed the World.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's on its third episode. I saw the first two episodes. for me, it is a general discussion documentary on the history of hip hop and how that effect did the world as far as politics. The first one was a very skinny explanation of the convergence of different cultures that made hip hop. Obviously, you got the Kool Herc angle. They discussed disco a little bit.
Punk.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit as far as the music goes. The economic conditions of New York, which was a key thing. Politics as well, from Nixon to Reagan. That whole shit.
Yeah, yo. I'm trying to tell you.
Yo, it's absolutely crazy.
I am not a crook.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Chuck, because the documentary isn't for us, because we knew this already. It is for younger folks who may be interested about how come the old heads always barking about some shit, you know? And I think it does a decent job, but a guy like me, I'm always going to be frustrated with this type of documentary. Because hip hop is so important to me and so nuanced. You need one of them Ken Burns 12 episode joints. You know,
that may be in the works. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But you really do need one of them Ken Burns 10, 12 episode joints to really get into the nuance. You know,
Let me see if I can reshape your thinking for just a half a second.
Okay, my man.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I feel you on that. But we have to take this as it is for us. Because I see it as confirmation. Like where you say it's not for us, it's for people to see. It's also for us to confirm what we know, to take us back, to remember, and all that kind of stuff. I didn't care about nobody else seeing a thing. But I'm not saying you're dismissing it, but we have to give it its proper respect, because it doesn't have to be on air.
That's true, and I'm not dissing. I'm not saying I'm dissing as a historian. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a historian, in my brain, I'm like, damn, but you know they missed this.
Yeah, we need that Ken
this.
Burns.
Yeah,
right, sure. right. You definitely need a step by step type of lesson plan. The way they need to set it up, from they said you need 10 to 12 episodes where you can just go one episode is just the beginning. Just strictly 70s, nothing else, right, in the first episode. That's all you're talking about. When it first started, how it built up or whatever. And then the next episode can get into maybe niggas that's actually starting to rap and starting to do their thing.
I mean, and look, and you watch it and you pay very careful attention. People who are mentioned do get credit. I mean, because they started Herc. And then, of course, by the time you get to Busy Bee, you know what I'm saying, and Starsky, who actually coined the term hip hop, they say that. So people kind of, you know, get that. They had your boy Lee Quinones from Wild Styles on there, which was great. Yeah. You know, I love the artwork. I love graffiti. I love it. So they had him up there. So
part about them trains, man.
Oh yes, of course, no doubt. But you know, but again, how they tied in the economic conditions.
Yes, definitely.
In New York, and how from Nixon to Reagan was just horrific.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
And those of us who are old enough, at least from my point of view, I just never forget it. It was, you know.
You can't.
During the 70s, you know what I'm saying? During the Jimmy Carters, when they put the green boxes in the park.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
when Reagan came, the green gone. Boxes were gone, and gone. Niggas started going to jail.
Yep. So it was a setup for failure.
Right. And so the second part of the series, you know, is excellent as well. They shifted to L.A., you know, which was very good. But, you know, and I was very gratified for them to mention Toddy T's Bataram.
You know,
because I remember I'm listening to the song. This is 85. So, I remember listening to the song, and the song is dope. And he's talking about that drug. But I'm like, what the fuck is a Bataram? I have no fucking clue.
Busting down the doors, my nigga.
Yeah. Nigga, a modified mini tank. Yeah, a modified mini tank that they are just wholesale in African American areas just violating.
Batter ramming doors.
So I was gratified to see that. And again, the sort of right to Ice T without nuance there. I was frustrated. It's a good documentary. I'm not dissing. But you know how I am.
Yes.
So
yes,
Ice-T, he's talking about, you know, the 6 a.m. or whatever, but there's a lot of nuance there. There's a lot of history that, you know, some gaps that needed to be filled in, but it is for the general purpose audience.
Yes, right. That. And I will agree with you there, yes.
The way I look at things like this is it's just one more thing out there to just solidify and to let people know. It's basically like library books to me. It's just one more thing that people could go and watch.
Yes.
To learn something about hip-hop. They're not going to learn every single thing, but you'll learn something about hip-hop.
Oh, and that's what makes it official. And that's what I do love about it. Yeah, you fixed that up for me. It is because it is for the lay person. I don't know anything about rap. Mm. And so what can I learn about rap? Now, I'm interested to get to next issues. It's only 4 episodes. I don't know how they're going to tie that in with today's thing. I got a whole nother issue with that, but we can't cover that on this show.
But it'll probably be the financial aspect. That's what I'm going to guess.
Indeed. All right, next topic on Hip Hop Digest is shout out to Scarface and Willie D.
Oh, yeah, they got things.
Yeah, man. They got their podcast. Yeah. I think it is Ghetto Boys Reloaded. Is that what it's called, I think?
Wow.
Anyway.
Damn. Oh, yeah, they be on there talking some real shit.
Yes, so I caught a clip, and they were discussing the fact that, you know, Scarface got up there, mind playing tricks on me for 10 seconds, but no Willie D. And Willie D said he made calls.
Mm.
How come I'm not included? Didn't get no return calls. Scarface saying I got the call, showed up, was sort of given a script, 10 seconds. You know, I was in and out.
Oh, he was off. That wasn't me.
Yeah, he was. I mean, but real talk, what I really appreciated about it is they really were, they talked it out like men.
Okay.
Willie D said exactly what was on his mind, 1,000. Scarface said exactly where his mind state was. And they talked about that. But what I want to get to is the next part where Willie D is explaining about him putting in work in this hip hop and saying that he may not have invented things and he may have come after a lot of excellent people, but his contribution to hip hop is 100. And he talks about an issue, something that happened at a Houston club back in the days when the clubs still were, what's the word I want to say? We're still advertising, we don't play rap. Okay, one of these type of clubs. There's a lot of clubs. He was like, we don't play rap. We don't deal with rap. What's rap? And he representing hip hop in his heart so crazy. Him and his crew go up and it's like, yo, play the Ghetto Boys joint, whatever. And the guy like, nah, I ain't playing that. And he was like, okay, if you don't play, you gonna get your jaw cracked. You know what I mean? Then your man, he obviously see the situation is tenable. He's like, okay, if you come back in another hour, I'm going to put it on, you know? And Willie D talked about they put it on, the dance floor cleared. It's only two people on the dance floor, but he's like, but they played that shit.
Well, that story about niggas threatening the DJs is as long lived as fucking music goes.
Yeah.
Mob threatening niggas.
Right.
Niggas been threatening niggas to play my shit.
Right. It's no doubt about that. Of course, you know, back in the days, you could get that $50 handshake or whatever.
Yeah, yo, that's payola, my niggas.
Right. But, you know, and I, that story resonated with me because I'd been in that position. I've been in that position out at the Delco roller skating joint. You know what I'm saying? Spinning. Yo, what are you doing playing that? You know what I'm saying? And just representing hip hop to the fullest, you know, when nobody else is like, yo, fuck that. Put, you know, put some more Shalimar on.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I don't know what to say about that, you know, just but in terms of the podcast was... It's some real shit, you know what I mean? So,
well, you wouldn't expect it to be any less, especially if you've heard any of
no. And I'm familiar, right? I'm familiar with Willie D anyway. But with that being said, after the hijinks of last week, you know, that Nori and them niggas, after the hijinks of that, this is where I point to. See, this is where I go. I could say Willie D, and now Scarface. There's material out there. They may not be super paid, okay, as you guys apparently are. Congratulations to y'all. But
yeah, you're nah, paid. Woo.
There's cats out there with more succinct and real, you know what I'm saying, independent media. And they're artists, too. They're former artists.
Yeah.
Maybe them the niggas they was talking about. They struggling out here.
But I bet they wouldn't say it to their faces, so.
Nah.
Man, the further up you go, the harder that fall is when you come down, brothers.
Man, the further up you go, the more boots you got to lick.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. All right. Just keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is a very sensitive topic here. I'm going to say right off the break, we don't have the answers. We don't. We may have an opinion, but we do not have the answers. Dr. Dre has been long accused of violence against women. Why is he still being rewarded?
Ooh.
Yeah. A young lady took out an article and basically was like, all this Dr. Dre honoring at the Grammys is absolutely ridiculous.
Somebody said D. Barnes?
Well, they mentioned...
She was out there with it.
Yeah, D. Barnes and Miss Chalet, basically, both of those two were mentioned. I guess they named something after Dre, this sort of global innovator Grammy thing that got his name on it.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, so they were like, you know, two things happened that night that were just horrendous. Dre getting this honor and obviously wifey losing a bevy of Grammys. Oh, no. But we're not talking about the wifey situation. That's
but,
just the
but
two
she
things.
Still won four though, didn't she?
Well, I don't know, B.
30 something total, right?
I don't want to talk about wifey. I just wanted to bring that in context.
But I'm like, it's not. How is that a bad thing if you still won? Because she didn't get just straight and didn't win shit.
Anyway, yeah. Let's get back to Dre.
An easier subject, huh?
Well,
right.
What I'm saying is that they have, she goes through the whole D Barnes thing. She goes through the whole Miss Chalet talking about black eyes and cracked ribs. Even Dr. Dre's ex-wife, his recent ex-wife, said, you know, domestic violence throughout their 24-year marriage. Here it is. The Grammy Ouch. Was both renamed the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. Okay. So, you know, they're going through. My question to you, gentlemen.
Okay.
My question to you is simple. Is simply this. Dee Barnes is feeling like her whole situation is being erased. Her contribution from hip hop, the fact that Dr. Dre abused her like the way he did, is being erased. What do you do with Dr. Dre in the case of that he is not only his music and the music he has put out since those events, but his business acumen? What do you do? Is this a situation where these women are calling for the cancellation of Andre Young?
They are. Specifically, they are. And they're trying to start a petition, I guess, and to try to get this snowball rolling down the hill. Because right now they're pushing the snowball up the hill. And it's a long way up that hill when you got a nigga like Dre that's connected as he is in the network that he's connected into. It's going to be hard throwing them rocks at a nigga that basically you can't reach him because he's in the penthouse. So, I can say I agree with them, especially if you're one of those women. Like, y'all praising this nigga? This nigga is fucking, he's a piece of shit. But what are you going to do? It's more, to me, I look at this shit in the light of maybe like, not as extreme, but like an R. Kelly or Afrika Bambaataa situation where what they contributed was so huge, but niggas is still looking at Afrika Bambaataa specifically. Niggas ain't really throwing him under the bus as hard. You know what I'm saying? Even though some shit that he did is like, damn, nigga, that's some foul shit. And R. Kelly, of course, everybody knows what the fuck that nigga did, but he was forgiven for a long time because of what he contributed before he was thrown under the bus.
Well, may I add to this bad situation and make it worse?
Sir?
Okay, so we do know in fact that there was some litigation between Dee Barnes and Dr. Dre. But what many may forget about that litigation is it was settled.
Right, it was settled.
Out of court.
And it probably got a gag order or some shit in there too. Somewhere.
So, with that being said, I am not diminishing at all what happened to her or his ex-wife or Michelle or any other female that he might have abused. I'm not trying to do that. But what I am saying as far as Dee Barnes saying that she's been erased, maybe in the moment of settling out of court, she didn't think she'd be erased. But I can't ride on that point. Now, if she had gone to court all the way through and lost, I'd be like, damn, that is kind of fucked up. But again, in that moment, at that time, she chose to go ahead and settle out of court. So she really can't be doing too much. I don't want to sound fucked up. She could talk about it all she wants to. As long as, like you said, there's no gag order. He did it. You could talk about it. But you're going to also have to talk about you settling out of court and not going the full way through with it. If he was so bad, then you should have gone all the way through with it. Maybe you had a fucked up attorney who was just looking for some money. I don't know. I don't know because I wasn't there. But it looks bad all the way around. Because obviously the industry is forgiving what he did. Just like the black community for a while forgave Robert. And, you know, I didn't get beat up by Dr. Dre, so I don't really know what to say, but I bet you I wouldn't. If I did settle in court, it would be a number so big that I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore.
So I'm thinking at the time, especially when she complained about the shit, she probably was like, I don't want to go against the machine. And I want to keep my career, probably thinking that I'll be able to still keep my career and if I get this shit over with quickly. But then the machine just turned on her and shut her the fuck out.
Yeah, because she was on BET, right? Wasn't that on BET?
BET, MTV, one of them she was on.
Yeah, one of those channels, but yeah. Viacom, but yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely Viacom. They own it all, don't they?
Yeah, so I'm not slighting what she went through, but...
So is this the case here? I think this is the case, and this is probably the wrong thing to say. You're not going to cancel Dr. Dre for the simple fact that, and this is 100. You're not going to cancel Dr. Dre, but the simple fact that he has a history of abusing women, he does, and it's documented. But you're not going to cancel him. You're not going to cancel him. And Dee Barnes, I mean, women who are close to this issue certainly are going to feel it. But Dee Barnes, Michelle A, and maybe his current, his ex-wife, they're going to be what they are in the story. Abused women. That's part of the story. But they may want to make him R. Kelly. He's not. They may want to make him a Harvey Weinstein, but he's not.
But nope.
The thing that's fucking this whole shit up to me is that it's because it was so long ago, especially with the two, with Dee Barnes and Michelle A.
Right.
It's like, okay, people are thinking, oh, well, he ain't doing that shit no more. But then his ex-wife is saying that it happened. But why you didn't say it when it happened? If you had been constantly saying something while it was happening, then you maybe have a chance of canceling this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Because, oh, damn, his ex-wife made like 10 complaints on this nigga. Then you go, maybe that'll get the snowball to coming down that hill a little bit. Like, oh yeah, this nigga is fucking, he's out of control. But because those two happened so long ago and his ex-wife is just now coming out of woodworks with this, when she didn't say nothing at all the whole time, it's looking like niggas like, that shit probably didn't happen.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. So I'm not going to go any further on this topic. I don't have the right answer. I think there's a politically correct answer to say, you know, Dr. Dre ain't shit and these women need to be highlighted for, you know, what they endured and their bravery.
Let me ask you a question.
Would it make a difference?
Would it make a difference if they named it the Burt Bacharach Award and gave him the first award? Dr. Dre, the first award. Would it make a difference?
Well, they're saying that, this is what I'm saying. Dee Barnes and Michelle A, look at Dr. Dre. Let's say, if you take from the time those incidents are happening, you know, he's won mad Grammys. He's had multi-platinum records. Now you got a global award, Grammy named after him. A Super Bowl appearance, basically just... We're talking about the Super Bowl. Just highlighting his whole career of production. You know, Mary J. Blige giving him, you know, a 1,000 big up. You know what I'm saying? Which doesn't, you know... I don't know. I'm just saying that.
Well, if you're them, you're just seeing this nigga just rising like the fucking phoenix coming out the ashes, and they're still left in the ashes. Like, wait, what the fuck? We're the ones that should be the victims here. How the fuck is this nigga rising up out
right,
this shit?
Right. And it is, they're not just taking on Dr. Dre. They're taking on the American culture, jurisprudence. They're taking on the system of, like you said, you got Jimmy and them. You know, that's the music industry. That's the music business, you know. Right. So there's a lot of layers of which they're trying to peel back. So
good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
Indeed.
See, that's a machine that can't be beat.
Indeed. So, all right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Ice-T opens up about ending the LL Cool J feud. So for those of you youngins out there may be wondering why these two old niggas, LL and Ice-T, what was they feuding about and how important was it?
Oh, shit, I took the cover right home to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, let's get to that. Let's get to that. basically, according to Ice-T, this whole thing was about, at the time LL put out I'm Bad, and that LL was considering himself sort of self-appointed as the baddest man in hip-hop, okay? Ice-T took exception to that, okay? He said, you know, I got something to say about being the baddest cat in rap, too. But I believe that Ice-T underestimated. This is a situation where Hollywood and bars intersect. And I believe that Ice-T, who is one of my favorite people in the culture for sure,
yeah,
didn't really understand that bars, when you came into that intersection between Hollywood celebrity and bars, it can still affect you. And LL Cool J subsequently released To the Break of Dawn. I believe it was off the House Party soundtrack on Motown Records. One of the most, it should be celebrated more than it is, because this is back in the days where the Titans were involved in the culture.
Yeah.
You had LL Cool J and Ice-T, and these were huge names in rap music, okay?
Yep.
But the Break of Dawn just absolutely, it was over for Ice-T.
Yeah.
It was over for Ice-T, and no disrespect to Ice-T, I don't know what this record he put out to LL, but whatever it was ineffective.
The fact that you don't even know it, but could easily recite lyrics off of Break of Dawn should tell you right there.
So you got Kirk G, who's saying the famous line that comes from that, I took your cover straight home to the bathroom, was everybody's either the first and or second Ice-T cover. It didn't matter. Boy, he kept some honeys on them Jones.
Yep.
And I think it was Power.
Power, that's what it was. Power.
Yes. I think it was Power, where LL wasn't the only one taking it home to the bathroom.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
This nigga's out here talking about sausage cleaning and shit.
Oh, my goodness.
I ain't saying that. Well, I mean, maybe I am. I'm just saying that back in those days, you know, before the internet, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, that's what you had to do.
Listen to this old man humor.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, here, I got it right here. You see it?
Yeah, I'm looking at Darlene on it now. Oh, you talking about that? You got, nope. He got the LL Cool J. I got the Power album.
Oh, you got
the
Power album.
Woo, boy, Darlene.
Oh, man. Your boy, he hammered Ice-T. I remember, there's a couple lines in there that I remember, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you little burnt up French fry, I'm that type of guy. Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt, produced by Molly Mall, you know?
Damn.
So, yeah. So they squashed beef. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, the Power album, but it's that B side though.
Oh, right. I ain't trying to do that right now. I gotta go to the bathroom.
It's the B side. It's showing all back.
You know what I mean? Yeah, boy. Everybody loved Darlene on them covers, boy. Yeah, boy. So, shout out to Ice-T. Shout out to LL Cool J. He said they just basically had seen each other for years, but never really sat down and took a pic together, you know, and I guess they decided, you know, enough was enough. Just announced that it wasn't even much of a feud. Ice-T just said it was just some phony rap shit. But, yeah, son, I'm sorry. Whew,
and a nigga like Ice-T would probably never even took that shit personal anyway. Because he like, well, shit, you taking it to the bathroom. I got it.
True.
Taking the cover to the bathroom. Nigga.
Yeah, what I know.
Clearly he didn't care if she was on the cover.
Right. Dressed like that.
You know what I mean?
Wasn't a hoodie and Tim's, my nigga.
Nah. She wasn't no around the way girl.
Nah. Man, you know how it is in California. No doubt about it.
All right, no doubt.
I always thought that was a funny beef. I put that one in the same category as Luke and Dr. Dre or whatever that was. That, those kind of, when we talk about hip hop battles or beefs, we really don't talk about that because it didn't they come out later, Luke and Dre saying it was fake?
I don't remember Dre saying anything about that, but I do remember Luke, you know, basically saying it was just done because it was kind of a thing to do, yeah. You know, because you really had some, things that really were taking place, like real talk, Tribe Called Quest and Rex in Effect. There was some real violence that could have took place, and yeah. Farrakhan had to get involved.
Yeah,
just due to yeah. niggas acting, you know, stupid. Right. You know,
right.
So some of that stuff would spill over to unnecessary violence. There's so much of it that was just sort of Hollywoodish.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep, that's why I said the intersection between Hollywood and bars. I don't even think Ice-T could have imagined that A Break of Dawn was going to come out.
Yeah, he was messing with the wrong one at that time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And LL Cool J, who had back, had got back on his game too. Whoo.
Yeah, that was pre Biggie Pac. So yeah. LL was still in.
Yeah,
yeah. LL was still considered definitely one of the GOATs.
No doubt. And it's funny how you said pre Big and Pac. When it came time for LL Cannabis, LL said, "I'm out."
Yeah,
because
I'm out.
Of Biggie, because right. of Biggie and Pac. He exactly. was like, "Look, you, the way these motherfuckers is taking it nowadays."
Right.
You know. So, all right, that's what's up. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this one's for you, Kurt G.
Uh-oh.
An update here, Young Thug to put Lior Cohen and Kevin Lyles on the witness stand.
Ow.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. So basically what it gets right down to, Young Thug is they and his lawyers apparently are going to call a bevy of who's who in hip hop. And apparently two of the biggest fish that they're going to call is Kevin Lyles and Lior Cohen. Mm. For those of you who don't understand, let me explain the Thug connection. It was Lior Cohen who founded 300 Entertainment with Kevin Lyles. And then, you know, 300 is like, it's like a big label out there. They get a partnership with Young Stoner Life Records. And was later they sold the whole situation to Warner Music Group. Okay. But people with Young Thug lawyers are trying to show is that this was a legitimate business.
YSL.
Yeah, this was not right. This was not a gang. This was legitimate business. And we're gonna have two of the biggest boss players, okay, in the industry that's gonna go up there and testify against that. Now I'm not a conspiracy brother.
Uh-oh. When you say that, you about to say something.
But
uh-oh.
I think it is a very, very curious timing that 300 Entertainment was sold over to Warner Music Group. And I just believe that some way, somehow, Lior Cohen and Kevin Lyles got a heads up. Yo, you
hey,
better
Kurt, can I say it?
You better clear out.
Can ooh. I say it?
Kurt? Say it. Go ahead and say it.
Welcome to the club, King Killer.
And I only say this, and trust me, I only say this because of Lior Cohen's harrowing experience of being hauled into court when your boy Irv Gotti and them was on trial.
That's how many conspiracies are discussed, Killer.
Boy, you keep doing talking like this, you're going to get a jacket in a minute. Get you a Letterman jacket up here.
Oh, my goodness.
Big ass C on that motherfucker.
Oh, my goodness. Conspiracy brother.
Kill off that. It just seemed funny that.
Right. Man.
I'm just saying. So, you know, yes, there was 300 Entertainment, Young Stoner Life. They were distributing records. They were in business and in close proximity. Now, that could be a problem. I don't know. I mean,
it could be a problem either way. Depends on what them niggas say when they hit the stand. If they're calling them, you thinking they would be more, it's going to be positive for Mr. Thug. Hopefully. And for his sake.
Well, I think that they're just, again, going to try to set up the legitimate aspects of the business.
Oh, yeah.
That the business was not a front for drug and gang activity.
It's just something to put a doubt in the juror's mind.
Right.
That's all
yeah.
it's about.
Yeah.
And you can create yeah. that doubt. That means you can run free.
And with the right scripting, they'll be able to do it.
Yeah, you better believe it.
So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting turn of events here. But again, the sale of that whole situation before he took over YouTube, I just thought it was real close.
Yeah, Mr. Cohen is YouTube, niggas.
So yeah.
He's got a lot of money.
Yeah, worldwide worldwide operations, might I add.
Yeah. You know?
So, yes, he'll possibly, we don't know. He's got lawyers, too.
Oh, yeah, he might stay the fuck oh, off that stage.
Please.
Man, I'm not going up there.
I'll do it from video.
Exactly. I'm not leaving here.
So, all right, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, and this is sort of an announcement, but an analysis here. Eminem produced a new track for King Crooked. So, I guess I'm trying to figure out.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Did you say Eminem produced a track?
Right.
Did I hear correctly?
No, you heard it right.
Okay. Proceed.
Well, I guess I didn't even really get into the article. I'm taking a straight headline here because Eminem's production, I'm going to use the word I used last week. It's not good.
Weak.
And why would this make news? Because Eminem's production is not good.
It's making.
But his name is good.
His name is good in these streets. His name is good. And his production reminds me of early Swizz. And y'all remember how I used to be hammering that nigga?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Hammering early Swizz. Fucking just production was weak to me, but niggas was just loving it. And going all, because he was, the records that he was putting out was fucking going crazy. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck? Niggas can't hear this shit? This shit sound cartoonish to me. But okay. And Swizz got better over time. I'll give him that. But that's what it reminds me of with Eminem. Like, niggas can't hear this production. Man, this nigga ain't that good. I mean, he's popular. So I guess because he's popular, it makes the shit sell.
Yeah, I guess so.
So there's a money aspect to this as well.
There's always money involved, my nigga.
There's a money aspect to this as well. Because I'm going to tell you something. The only checks, and I'm just saying, the only checks that I believe that Mr. Crooked is really... really has really cashed has been from Eminem and associated label and touring, the same way with Joel Ortiz. Come on, let's be 100. That's the only, and that's good money. I mean, there's a, what's that, three, four good years?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Slaughterhouse and touring, and you know, when M tour.
Oh, it's over.
You know.
And you see all these niggas is starting to hit the road again.
Yeah, this is
charging
this is,
fucking $1,000 for a fucking seat.
Yeah, Eminem. Yeah, Eminem, you know, his tour gate is stadium tour gate, you know, so. I don't know. I just seen that and I just said to myself, this is an announcement. I see it. It's on the news, but that's such a yawner, you know. It's going to be a yawner.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we be surprised if it's a hot banger?
Oh, my God.
Didn't Eminem do some production for them dudes from Buffalo?
I don't know. I don't think so.
He just signed them? He didn't produce none?
I don't think he produced any tracks.
Okay. I'm just checking.
I don't remember them talking about his production. I don't think so.
Indeed. All right. No doubt. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, we want to say with a heavy heart, rest in peace to David Jude Joliakor. I believe that's how you pronounce it. De La Soul MC. We also known him as True Goy the Dove, Plug 2, or just plain Dave. And I just want to say to the young bulls out there,
jeez,
he's the plug before the plug. You know what I mean? Yeah. Word is born. You know, Plug 2. You know what I mean? Just a tragic loss. This is definitely some old man radio shit. Even though you young boys really need to be up on this,
happen. They get a chance to be up on it because the albums is now out there streaming.
Yes. Well, they will be March 1st, I believe.
Yeah, streaming.
I believe March 1st. He grew up Long Island, East. Well, he's actually born in Brooklyn. Grew up Long Island, East Massapequa, and attended Amityville Memorial High School. He was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and wore a life vest for several years, I believe since 2017. You know, he had trouble with his health for a good while now. Actually won a Grammy in 2006 for his verse on Feel Good, the best pop collaboration with the Gorillaz.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. So he did win a Grammy, but it's De La Soul. Okay.
Right.
And too many albums that are great. I mean, too many albums that are good to great. I think a lot of people would say that their least favorite album would probably be their last album, The Anonymous Nobody, which they took a totally different route, but that's them.
No doubt.
But
if you think about the transition from their first album to the second album, was a totally different route.
Yeah, because 3 feet High to De La Soul is dead.
It's crazy. It's
right,
absolutely right. Nuts, you know. Yeah. So, we say rest in peace to him. That's heavy.
That is a heavy one, yo.
That's heavy.
When you're talking about goat talk, and it comes to groups, them niggas is top three.
Oh, yeah, without question.
Without question, top three. And can fight for that number one spot and get it.
Easily,
and
yes.
And get it.
Yeah, and nobody ain't going to be mad if you put them in that number one spot. Nobody here, at least.
Nah, not at all.
No doubt. So there was a very interesting post here from Speech, and he listed all the groups that lost at least one member. He said now De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, Arrested Development, Ghetto Boys, PM Dawn, Run DMC, Beastie Boys, Houdini, Gangstar, Rob Bass, and Easy Rock have all passed. I say you could probably throw in People Under the Stairs and Two Live Crew in there as well. I'm just saying, as we really think about this critically, there's more groups you can throw into that, no
Executioners,
doubt.
Executioners, do they get a shout?
Executioners, of course, no doubt. Yeah. So you could throw a lot of people, which led me to this very just commentary by King Killer. You know, Big Boy and Andre, y'all fucking this criminal. Because there's time, and we don't know when the Lord, you know, only the Lord knows. But y'all two can still make great, great music together. And just, you know, with this type of thing happening and all the groups that we named, you know, and the ones that we didn't, I just, come on, man. You know, y'all mean too much. Outkast as a unit mean too much to us.
Yeah. Yep.
So, anyway, rest in peace.
Actually, there was a little blip I didn't see that you might get your wish soon.
Really? Okay.
You might get your wish on that soon.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, I just want the effort. I mean, if Black Star can at least give up the effort.
Ugh.
Black Star at least gave up the effort, man.
They did give up the effort.
And actually, I do like the record.
There was a couple of joints on there that I could
yeah,
say
I like yeah, that record. You know, Talib, come on, man. Just put it on vinyl so I can buy it, please.
Oh, shit.
That's all. You know what I mean? If I got to order it from your blog, I'll do it. You know what I mean? If that makes you feel better.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you
gonna sign up for the
No, I ain't signing up for the monthly payment, but I'll buy a record off the block.
Oh my goodness.
So we only say that to say, yo, rest in peace to Plug 2, True Roy the Dove, De La Soul, of course, where it is
it's crazy.
Crazy, exactly. Exactly. No doubt. So what else do I got here? I think I got like one or two more. You still be rocking here by candlelight.
No doubt. I see you.
Yeah, no doubt.
I thought it was like mood lighting. You know
see him,
what I'm
I see him flashing the light. I'm like, you're going to get vertigo over there, nigga. You keep looking at the screen. That shit flashing like that.
Yeah, I look away because it's like right in my eye when you do that, like a headlight.
Okay. So the next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, okay, We're not gonna go through the Billboard and then later, I don't know who was the, it wasn't XXL, it was another publication who put out a list of the 50 greatest of all time. And of course, you know, when you had people like Nicki Minaj and Drake and these clowns in the top 10, we know that it is there for what it is there for.
But these lists are prisoners of the moment.
Oh, that, yeah.
Because it depends on when you put it out. Depends on who's actually up there and on the list.
Well, they're all phony. And it was one particular list. They had Hove at number one. And there's a lot of Hove fans.
It was a Billboard who had Hove at number one.
And there's a lot of Hove fans who will be like, oh, you know, Hove really got the bars and a body of work that is true hip hop and he should be considered. And I'd say, okay, but Billboard spent exactly a paragraph talking about Hove's music and the rest was his liquor companies and his investments and who he's married to.
That's all part of the status at this point, B.
That's all part of the game, B.
I mean...
But that's how they're going to talk about him. That's probably how he wants to be remembered.
Blue Ivy got a half a paragraph as a budding star in her own right and how much money she bring it in at 11.
B, you want me to just do a fucking list of all the whack lists and then a list of good lists?
The Billboard list at least did have a lot of old head names on there. I will give them that. They tried to give us something.
Okay.
Give us a little piece of the meat off the rib. The last piece of meat off the rib. They did try to give us something.
I tell you one thing. This generation, I gotta give them credit, though. I give them credit for the moxie. A list will not come out on any major publication that will not include somebody from this generation. And again, i.e., that Red Leaf and Nicki, you know, which is
like I said, it's all prisoners of the moment. Yeah. It's all prisoners of the moment. You do this list another 10 years from now, and half of them niggas they put on there won't be on there. They'll be whoever's out at that time.
Right.
Same old heads.
Jay-Z might even be up there, but it's going to be the next set of niggas is going to be on there, and Drake might have moved up higher on the list. And all them niggas, like Rakim and them other niggas, ain't even going to be in mention.
Gone.
Yes,
they
true. Yes.
There?
Yeah, they out of there.
They out of there because they got to start bringing these other niggas into the line.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. Right. Which leads me to if you go over to Vlad TV, what do you call him? The Viper?
The Viper.
You go over to Viper TV. Fredo Starr is up there, and he actually, you should see that video. He makes a very compelling argument that. That Sticky should be in the top 10 because of the way he bodied Eminem. And I tell you what, he makes it.
Them niggas, they be making some outlandish statements.
Yes, they do.
But put it like this, them niggas believe in themselves wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
I bodied this nigga. And I give Sticky the fact that he was the most animated and the most probably person you wanted to hear his verse when you're listening.
Yeah.
To them niggas. He was like, okay, out that bald head crew, Sticky was the man.
But just like everybody else, there were characters who just took those characters a little far from being barbers,
But Swerve, you said a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even last week when we were talking about Nori and Joe, you know, Joe... on that mixtape he put out, yo, he really did a nice job of dressing down the Red Leaf.
Oh, he did it on fucking five albums straight.
He really addressed.
But
I just remember that one particular
footing,
no traction,
no traction, right? No traction.
One, we're gonna revisit at some point. I'm gonna bring them back up so we can revisit those and pull out the finer ones of those five albums because there was some heat on them joints. For real.
But you're not one of generation has put their chips in. And you remember, they're up at Billboard, and where there are people up there saying, okay, we got Honor the Greats. Like you said, you Hove and the Rakim and all of that shit, but there are 24-year-olds is like,
who the fuck is Rakim?
And why can't nobody see how great the Red Leaf is?
He makes a lot of money.
He makes a lot of money, and he's not of our generation. So the greatness that they see, we can't hear it, and we can't see it like that, because it's like, we don't understand how y'all loving this nigga as much as you do for the type of shit that he does. And to put him in the hip-hop category is like, he doesn't even want to be fucking hip-hop. Not in that category anyway. He wants to be more considered to be in the Hove lane of being a mega multi-mogul type nigga. That's where he wants to go, where he wants to be. So to put him in the lane of hip-hop, that's why niggas start to look at this nigga crazy. Like, why are you putting him in that lane?
I think he was an arrogant SOB who wanted that.
In the beginning, yes. But now, that nigga, he ain't into that. She don't give a fuck about no hip-hop. He gives a fuck about hip-hop that they call hip-hop. That ain't hip-hop, what they call it. You know what they call hip-hop? That's rap music, my nigga.
Kiki ain't hip-hop?
Man, Kiki don't even love him. He keeps asking, do she love him? I don't think so.
So,
yeah, I went there because I don't know what the fuck's on the last album. Don't care.
You talking about that house album?
That either.
All right, let's please.
Oh man, I tried to needle him back there. He didn't even go for it.
Nah, I know.
He just tried to brush it off.
Let's just please move.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. A lot of that Red Leaf. So, so certainly, and then quickly before we get out, but I do want to get back to Chuck D for a moment. I watched a full interview of Chuck D up at the Sway in the morning. I don't even know if they're calling that, but he was up at Sway's show, and it was a very interesting. He talked about how the breakdown of the groups, since we were talking about groups and the loss of so many key members in our favorite groups, but how the breakdown of the groups and the breakdown of touring together. He says that, you know, on his first tours, and he's learning from the Run DMCs and the Houdinis and the Dougie Freshes how to really put on a show. He goes on tour and is on tour with a lot of other groups, and how he became the old head of the tour, him and Ice-T, and would talk about the great, great story about him and Ice-T being the eldest guys, the oldest guys on the tour, and how a young Tretch and a young Tupac was on one of these tours, and Chuck D telling them, look, we in Louisiana, don't go out there and get arrested in this state because we ain't got no money to come get you, you know? Don't be out there in this particular state. He's like, man, we could be in the South. He said, we could be in Ohio somewhere or whatever without giving proper deference to the fellas. We know you on the tour, you getting props and you can scoop the girls or whatever. But he was like, you know, cats in these cities, you know, they not going to put up with you just coming in and trying to scoop their girls. You should hear Chuck D talking about this. It is so fascinating. And it gets to a part of which the documentary probably will never get, a Ken Burns style probably would get into, this sort of New York style arrogance that used to, you know, go to every city and I'm on my New York shit and y'all and the rest of y'all niggas is country niggas, you know, and not giving the proper respect or whatever. And Chuck himself said that he had to learn that, you know, himself, you know, but how he tried to pass that on to a young Tretch and a young, you know, Tupac, you know, when they were kids on tour, you know, he's like, yeah, I remember Queen Latifah bringing, you know, the young boy up to me. He was like, this is treacherous. And how Shock G, the same thing with Tupac. Yo, this is my man, you know, Tupac, you know, rest in peace to Shock G, you know. And
another group.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Digital Underground. Exactly. There you go. So all that being said, you know, Chuck was saying you kind of don't have that. You have individual contractors out there, you know, because you don't have cats sort of with these group tours like you used to. It's just sort of club dates and individual contractors.
Well, it's the me thing now. So yeah. Niggas ain't trying to share. Me niggas like I can get it all by myself.
Well, Chuck seemed to think that it is more corporate, you know, sabotage.
Well, it's always
because
been
you don't because he was like the you know what we did is pass on knowledge, like the knowledge was passed on to me,
right?
Uh-huh. And then I passed on knowledge to the younger guys, you know. To keep this thing going, to keep the tour going, to keep the people out of trouble, you know. And he was like, you know, they needed to break that up. They needed to make sure that it was just individuals. You didn't have Ice-T's and Chuck D's schooling cats on tours.
Well, it's always that way, though. It's easier to control an individual than it is to control a group. Because there's always one nigga in the group that's going to do some shit out of left field that's going to be like... Why the fuck do y'all still fuck with this nigga? Y'all need to get him, get rid of him.
Well, a lot of there's not. I don't think can't think of any groups right now. But what I see a lot in today's culture is features. A lot of features, but that doesn't mean you going on tour to say 16 bars on somebody's record. You know what I'm saying? So it is a me genre right now. Mm-hmm.
All right, indeed, no doubt. So, again, I'm going to give a shout-out before we get out here. We're getting ready to do Kurt G's World Famous Albums of the Week. I want to give a shout-out to the brothers and sisters on the text chain, specifically the Digital Freaks. All right? You know who you are, Pete and Matt. If you, for those of you who don't know what time it is, for those of you, I'm trying, but let me put you up. Okay, here you can come in and get Kurt G's World Famous Albums of the Week, which is good money. But yep. If you join the text chain, you can get in on what the Digital Freaks are providing for you each week, okay?
Man.
So, I'm trying to tell you.
It's getting so that I'm about to give up my position.
Oh, wow. Say,
these niggas can run it. Because wow. I'm like, these niggas is putting up so much shit in the text chain.
Oh.
It's like, wow. It's crazy.
So we may have to think about the Digital Freaks albums of the weeks.
That rhymes, my nigga. The Digital Freak album of the week.
Well, damn. Okay. That sounds great to me.
Yeah, we may have to think about that. Matt, Pete, when you hear the show, let us know what's good.
Might even bring Wes Dino out back out.
Where you at, Wes? You know what I mean? So no doubt. So, but anyway, let's just do this how we do it. Kurt G's World.
Wait, pause.
Uh-oh, what did I miss?
And not because somebody said something pause-worthy. I'm saying pause because I wanted to say something real quick. E. Green got something to say.
Right. All right. Say what you got to say.
Any
of y'all want to remain an artist?
Ain't got to worry about King Killer all in the video laughing.
Right. So
we
what's good, Pam?
Have somebody who put out an amazing album in 2018. And he basically lambasted that Maple Leaf dude you talking about.
Okay. The Red
but
Leaf.
But what this dude has recently been seen in
was
looking like, he has basically, if old boy can get off the porch and write a diss record, he has put himself out there in a baby LeBron outfit with the short set suit. Like, y'all saw the picture?
Yeah, I saw that.
Pusha T. In whatever fashion you want to call that, yo, you have put yourself out there for a possible missile launch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a meme.
So hold
that's
on.
Gonna keep so popping up, my
so,
nigga.
So I gotta ask a question. I gotta ask a question real quick. I want to do a point counterpoint here.
And there's a point and a counterpoint to this shit?
Well, yeah. No. Yes, it may be. Because this is what I'm saying. If you see Pusha T in this outfit, and then with this poodle purse that he's carrying.
He's
carrying a poodle purse. And then he got these big-ass rubber-looking galoshes on.
Not the red ones everybody's fucking wearing now.
No, they're
some
black.
Some other shit. Yeah.
But the point I'm saying... Young Bulls and a lot of people are always constantly saying this ain't nothing, but you know, people from one generation dissing another. Is this the same as our parents and our grandparents when we grow up with construction Tims open, with Carhartt super baggy Champion hoodie? Is this the same thing?
This is not the same thing. Nah. Only on this point. It's not like all the kids are wearing this. It's not like you see everybody rocking this. From our generation, we was all baggied out.
And everybody was wearing Tims on. Yeah.
Right, hoodies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That was what we wore. That was our uniform of the day.
And
these kids wear tight jeans hanging off. I don't see how that even work. I don't even understand how this could be tight and sagging at the same time. It's tight. How the fuck does it sag? But anyway.
But Pusha T has got on. This is designer wear. This is strictly.
This is some shit you can't even afford.
Right. Right.
The poodle purse alone is probably a few grand.
Mm.
But that just was like, when I seen that picture, I'm going to tell you the first thing came to my mind when I looked at that picture. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay.
First thing popped in my head. And then I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Not you, Push. Not you. Really, B?
Push has got more money than he's ever had in his career, you know, and now he's starting to act like it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Just a reminder right there for you. Oh, the striped sock. The pocket square.
Look at that double breast shit he got on. Yeah,
that's high double breast.
And you're wondering how he got album of the year.
Them damn shoes. I didn't even.
Nigga, that's them rubber galoshes, Jones.
I saw the poodle pat pouch. At least it's not a, what do you call it? A satchel.
It's worse, nigga.
I'd rather rock a satchel.
That's worse, B.
Yeah, that's worse.
He's got a fucking handbag shaped like a dog.
That poodle purse shit, crazy.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that poodle purse. I'm sorry. I looked at it from the feet up because I'm like, oh, you got them rubber galoshes on. What the fuck? And then I seen that poodle purse. I was like, no, no. And then, like you said, that LeBron James short suit with that Steve Harvey jacket.
Remember when LeBron, lost that shit and he had on that shit and got up and grabbed his purse and walked off?
He stormed off the stage and shit. He stormed off the stage.
Nah, B. I'm sorry, yo. This, I don't care. I don't care. Your name might be like, no, well, fuck it, you know, nigga, you 60-year-old nigga, y'all niggas ain't supposed to be fashioned
You don't know nothing about this type
of
shit.
Okay,
you're
right, and I don't know.
But see, this type of shit right here is the type of shit that I'll be talking about where this is a new way to flaunt wealth. Because, see, this is the shit that you're going to see at a nigga wearing to the prom this year. You're going to see some kids going to the prom rocking that type of gear.
Ooh. Yep, because you already see them niggas be showing their whole fucking ankles. Just no ankles and no socks and shit.
You should have known that shoes. Because when niggas was wearing them, capris and shit, remember that was
the still wearing them shits.
Still,
niggas wearing capris, tight capris. Like nigga on the NFL Network did that shit. I'm looking at the screen like, nigga, where's my flag? A flag on this motherfucker, yo. Fucking tight capris, my G, on the NFL Network with that motherfucking LaDainian Tomlinson locks pulled back like a fucking. I hate that shit, B. I'm sorry. I hate that shit.
He said LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, LaDainian Tomlinson be pissing me the fuck off, yo. Him and this nigga with these capris. Like, who the fuck is styling your hair, nigga? Just put it behind your ear or some shit. Your shit is all back in a fucking
ponytail. I'm sorry. See, I'm sorry, but B, I'm
up. You're not down with the man bun, my nigga?
I'm
sorry. I'm down with. And this is, you can call me, I'll take the dinosaur title all day, but I'm sorry. This is the wholesale feminized.
The fucking Eagles lost the Super Bowl when I saw Fletcher Cox. I was like, what the fuck?
You say this nigga brought that bad mojo through?
Oh, yeah. This motherfucker showed up in auntie's blouse. So, anyway, if the guy from up there can ever get off the porch and speak on his own behalf outside of his mob boss.
That nigga's laughing right now at that picture.
Yeah, he is.
If he ever puts an album out, that picture's going to be on the front of
it.
Oh, my
goodness.
If he ever
puts
something about that nigga out.
Yes.
So it's burning in his insides that he got taken out like that?
Oh, it's killing him. It's killing him, B.
With
this picture right here.
Oh, if I'm that Red Leaf, I'm pressing that up on vinyl on full 12-inch tilt with that picture on the cover.
Yeah.
There's a little doggy in the window. Arf, 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 arf. Nigga, I'm hammering the hell out of that nigga for that shit.
Damn, Push. You had to.
keep on pushing.
Can we get back to Kurt G?
Yeah, I just didn't want that to be left out. I need to address that and Fletcher Cox in that damn blouse at the Eagles game.
Oh, nigga.
Come on, man. We had to discuss it. Hey, he's a large man. Mm. But you don't need that silk blouse on, B. I'm sorry.
Son.
Niggas. Sunday service.
This is the new way to flaunt wealth, my nigga. This is the new way to flaunt it, B.
Then I'ma always look broke.
Never had no motherfucking endo to smoke.
Man, Lee on my leg, D by my side, and Jay with the beat. So I'm keeping it.
All right. This week, we got Odyssey to What End.
Okay.
And that's Odyssey to What End. That's not bad.
All right.
Okay.
And then we got the Doppelganger's Black Coat Lifestyle. That's the Doppelganger's Black Cloak Lifestyle.
Alright, so y'all heard it first and whatnot. This may change from Kurt G's World Famous to the Digital Freaks Album of the Week. Either way, let us know what you think. And the Digital Freaks, you know who you are. Y'all down or what?
Hey.
Matt.
Pete. Matt. Holla. Pete. Yeah, you down or what? Yo, I'll see y'all next week. Maybe we'll know what's good. Peace.
Indeed.
I won.
Now or never, I doubt it's ever that die. Only motivated when I get close to the fire. Who knew why me on the ropes is a noble fighter? Associated hope of providing. I come from a long line of barely trying and getting by. You won't be surprised if you apply and you get denied. Children of compliance got defined, and this is why. Hard to sympathize, crackers dying from getting high. Crackers in his prime, drug abuse was akin to crime. America's design on who do and don't get the lie. Front the grand jury, you're required when people crying. Somewhere in between the you and I, and the you was silent or obtuse. Using the excuse, just correct truth. I was sent to upset you. Got your chair and standing next to when you left. Ooh, moved away from me, but to the music you stepped to. Black flight, the only non-white in the front row. A misfit in light, but when it's night, y'all want oh. Show full of good girls, hype when I come close. Say she used the vinyl as a surface, the blunt roll. Edison ain't know it would be medicine. Peddled in by the melanin to Europeans flinging their skeletons. In need of a reckoning, well I reckon I'm selling them. Addiction in a civil suited garment I settled in. Live from the colonies of cotton, tobacco, sugar, and rotten planet. Harvesting a promise wasn't rooted when I was planting. Equity, not equality, I'm demanding. Your past or my future, who wanted more? Panic.
So what's real? Is there really a definitive answer? Nah. Just varies person to person, you know? One thing is for sure though, you never allow another individual to dictate what's real to you.
Manip, what up?
Cause that wouldn't be real.
Hey, see what's real? Real is looking after your seed and making sure the ones you love always have what they need. It's never slacking.
Even if you're catching fatigue and keeping family in mind when you stacking them G's. See what's real? Having your man's back if he sleep. Catching some Z's in case the ops active in beef. You can't be lacking with heat, nah. And what's realer is trying to squash it all if y'all happen to speak. See what's real? Making sure them young boys playing cool. Not making breaking news for robbing or taking jewels. Making sure that they appreciate what they can lose. Trying to educate the youth on why they better stay in school.
Yeah.
The whole goal is living peacefully and money made legally. Doesn't come easily, so having street cred is whatever, but what it mean to me, to spread love, be grateful and have decency.
Keep it real, my G. Well, what's real, my G? I need to know just how you feel, my G. It's really no right answer, and it's kinda ill, you see. What's real to you isn't always real to me. Yo, keep it real, my G. But what's real, my G? Is it something you can fail to see? I respect your perspective, but some people fail to see. What's real to you isn't always real to me.
Yo, they bleed like us. Only man putting fear in us is God. So you sticking your chest out like you scaring us is odd. Was just like you, my hammer near me just because. And I was ready to air it for the cause. Till I learned that they disguise all that arrogance because they trying to disguise the appearance of a fraud. I'm human, so in a lot of areas I'm flawed. But these lyrics and these bars still superior to yours. See, I can say I was misguided, yay high. Knew the rules that I had too much pride to play by. Wanted to be Mobb Deep, get a nine and spray ya. Learned later was cool to be Tribe and Daylight. You ain't gotta be a killer fan that's lies. You ain't gotta be the dealer to hand us pies. Stay low, take care of your fam, know why? Being real's only about being a stand-up guy.
Keep it real, my G. Well, what's real, my G? I need to know just how you feel, my G. It's really no right answer, and it's kinda ill, you see. What's real to you isn't always real to me. Yo, keep it real, my G. But what's real, my G? Is it something you can fail to see? I respect your perspective, but some people fail to see. What's real to you isn't always real to me.
When a sad clown play the background, see the signs and the symptoms. Your energy's important, your soul is absorbing, and that negativity cannot get spirit out of orbit. Man, I know a lot of times it's bad vibes and you force it. Tight feeling in the pits of your stomach like a corset. But what's your intuition telling you to do? To whom you trying to stay true? I see the bigger picture portrait with a future on the wall and all of my achievements, and that don't include you. Well, I'm stressing over hanging on the thread in the fray when I'm reminded how this life can come to end in a day. Now, I prefer to keep it cool because I still rock with you, but I think it's best we go our separate ways. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. It's like a porch light shining in the midnight dark. When dogs start to bark, feeling something's about to go off. When you can smell it in the air, minutes before it's about to drizzle. Then the fake smiles reveal the artificial. It's riddle, Celestine prophecy. Major in ecology. Know the habitat you at. Keep your instinct intact. Don't believe that everything's already planned. It's about to happen. So I'm watching for the snakes slithering and trying to trap the opportunity and prep. Better keep in mind time as life revolves around the sun. I'm trying to keep mine shining. When you know the storm's coming, you might have to stop climbing. Al Roker, how I learned the weather, master in the climate. Think about the bigger picture like a billboard to Vegas. So the ego got you gambling with odds against your faith. I found the balance in between my passion, ambition, and patience. Staying cautious of the ride, bumpy road, waiting great. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out. If I'm feeling the vibe, then I'm down. If I ain't feeling the vibe, then I'm out.
I'ma stick around for it. I'ma ride with you and I ain't feeling it. El Blue. Cali. If I'm feeling the vibe.
the vibe, then I'm down. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yo, where Cali go? I don't know, he wouldn't feel the vibe. What's the dip?
Yeah.
Wild and outlandish, bazaars are antics, enhancements, schematics compatible to bandwidth, garden state planet, I reside in the swamps, drown comp in the Mars, harsh language inside my doors, trademark talks, brave smart, stage boss, made it to floss, creating your favorite as player no false, drum rolls, setting the toll, my excellence scrolls, the medicine that only veterans hold, the better flows, y'all copy and paste, we shocking your face, rocking the place, no option when we cocking it straight, hop stays, hot as the day, sky rocking for cake, body face, written to hobby, not sloppy on race, y'all mistaking the risk, taking like cliffhangers, I spit danger, shit bangers, committed anger, perfect stranger, arranger of files lost, brought back at a cost, words cold to cause a frost, flawless, no fraud, hard shit, total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target, flawless, no fraud, hard shit, total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target, flawless, no fraud, hard shit, total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target, flawless, no fraud, hard shit, total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target,
hydroponic, chronic, ebonic, sonic, symphonic, toxic, hot shit out of pocket, gossip topic, gothic prophet, identifying flying objects, back in effect like DOS effects, and you just summon, I'm muscling, tussling with them, tame one, or you can call me Hustle Simmons, I get short, yellow, school bus dumb, with understanding like 2 plus 1, I pick my battles, get at you and go, you can spit, you can flow, now bust one, I'm gritty like the brick city I come from, you literally humdrum, specifically want none, and in a one-on-one, I keep it a hunt. Redundantly running in lump sums, dumb dumb, like bullets. I'm gunning for anyone up and coming, always up to something jumping. I'm already up and running. You bustin', but ain't nothing coming.
Derived from a sports supply source, applied force, live from New York, strong vibes in my source. Prescribed pill, lines ill, mind filter they rinse, minted from a center with sense, in the trench, gripping suspense, six spitting events, lyricists, exhibitionists like fighters who clinch, time spent, muscling pins like lifts in the gym, mission no end, pushing the product with smoldering. Jersey Lowman exploding, nitrates, ammonium, Zoden, off-world they cloning. Repping my time frame, y'all era migraine. Eyesore, eye strain, no part of the game. Permanent stain, burn you into flames. High octane, fuel power switching in my lane. Y'all playing, non-factor in lanes, stuck in the shit. We ruckus busting studio games. Flawless, no fraud, hard shit. Total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target. Flawless, no fraud, hard shit. Total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target. Flawless, no fraud, hard shit. Total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target. Flawless, no fraud, hard shit. Total disregard for your squad on guard, you the target.
That you're beating me, so soon you should learn the error of your ways. Bet you by golly wow, you're not dealing with the child. But a nigga who gets wild when a track is laid out in front of me. My lyrics burn through the chest of all my enemies. Now how many MCs
Wanna step up through the mic and try to best me? I'm playing them on the spot, make them get caught like fishes in a net sea. Loving all the while, I'm flexing skills that can't be dealt with. You cannot get with the dramatic way they claim, proclaims my lyrical status. Showing you this in tracks that are fat. These downside flows, not the flat, cause these got back. Well, deep is on the down low, no those on what I chose to make the hit dip. Weak minds flip, delivering hit trips. Giving lyrical tongue lashes to many. Bombs over rhymes like I split. Flows like ink from a bin to a pad, I got it back. What I didn't hear, you just a fat fool. You just don't understand. You've heard it by Mad Lib tighter than a safe. Here comes my mind, now you just sealed your fate. Perpetrators get played like has-been hooks. Gradually y'all get burned like worn-out cooks. Loose lips sink ships, so I come equipped with loads of verbal knowledge or whatever you wanna call it. Speakably unique, I'm in my own stratosphere. Having niggas fear, a lyrical onslaught. That's how my bounce fight. First round KO without my fist. Bring your head gear, cause your head's gonna dip. Rhythmatically uncontrolled, I never fold. I'm going through phases, so much more is to follow. Skills get faster, stronger, harder to swallow. There is no duplicates because it's more like a demo. It's my duty to dig myself deeper in a hole. A hole underground, I won't go commercial. My dues get paid every day when I'm lounging. Doom men drowning like, how's that sounding? Sort of like confounding. When my mind congregates and it all comes together, mix it down, Mad Lib. And be easy with the levels. And be easy with the levels.